for certain. Maybe you're still here. I feel you all around me, your memory so clear. Deep in the stillness, I can hear you speak. You're still an inspiration. Can it be that you are mine forever, love? And you are watching over me from up above. Fly me up to where you are beyond the distant star. I wish upon tonight to see you smile. If only for a while to know you're there. A breath away is not far to where you inside my dream. And isn't faith believing all power can't be seen? As my heart holds you just one beat away, I cherish all you gave me every day. 'Cause you are mine. Thank you.
faith believing, all power can be seen as my heart holds you.
Check, check.
Just one beat away, I cherish all you gave me every day. My heart. holds you, just one beat away. I cherish all you gave me every day. I cherish all you gave me.
Oh, from up above. Fly me up to where you are beyond the distant star. I wish upon tonight to see you smile. If only for a while to know you're there. Breath away is not far to where you are.
I'm just sleeping here inside my dream, and isn't faith believing all power can't be seen. As my heart holds you, just one beat away, I cherish all you gave me every day. 'Cause you are mine forever, love, watching me from above. Fly me up cherish all you gave me every day, 'cause you are mine forever, love, watching me from above, and I believe that angels you are mine. certain. Maybe you're still here. I feel you all around me, your memory so clear. Deep in the stillness, I can hear you speak. You're still an inspiration. Can it be that you to where you are. watching over me from up above. Fly me up to where you are beyond the distant star. I wish upon tonight to see you smile. If only for a while to know you're there. Breath away is not far to where you are.
I'm gently sleeping here inside my dream, and isn't faith believing all power can't be seen. As my heart holds you just one beat away, I cherish all you gave me every day. 'Cause you are mine forever, love, watching me from to where you are. I know you're there. A breath away is not far to where you above. Fly
Every day, 'cause you are mine. to where you are. I know you're there. A breath away is not far to where you
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you this day to Gates Presbyterian Church as we gather to worship God, bear witness to the resurrection of our Lord, and celebrate the life of Ione Orinthia Crosdale. Beloved wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, sister, aunt, friend, and our sister in Christ. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live. And those who live and trust in me will never die. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And for when we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to God. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing our opening hymn.
Thank you.
In prayer, let us now ask God to cleanse our hearts, to redeem our memories, and to renew our confidence in the goodness of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, our hope, our strength, and our comfort, our help, your love cares for us in life and watches over us in death. We praise you for the great company of all those who have kept the faith, finished their race, and who now rest from their labor. Especially we thank you for Ione, whom you have now received into your presence. We are grateful for all she gave us, for the memories that will abide with us, and for the assurance that she lives forever in the peace and joy of your unending care. Take from us now our regrets and sorrows, and grant us your grace, we pray, that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Hello? Can you guys hear me okay? Well, for those that don't know me, I'm Adria, the granddaughter. On behalf of the family, we just wanted to say thank you so much for everything, the phone calls, reaching out, the help, the support, and the expressions of condolences. I think Grandma meant something to everybody here, so we express our condolences to you as well, because you've lost somebody. I really just want to take a few brief moments just to talk about my Grammy. When I was trying to think of what to say, I thought, well, what's one word that can describe my grandmother all wrapped up into one? The first word that came to mind was inappropriate. I think I barely got through a conversation without saying, Grandma, you cannot say that. But I think no word does her better justice than strong, and not just through what she went through recently, but all her life. She was just a force. She was a presence, resilient, fierce, independent, so intelligent and so funny. You, wickedly funny, inappropriately funny. I've got a lot of memories, but one of the stories that I wanted to share. So many of you know I have a 3.5-year-old, Josiah, and that is without a doubt her favorite person in the entire world. And I can say this because my grandma is not the type of grandmother who's like, I love you, I love you, I love you all the time, but you knew it. You know, you didn't need the words. When Josiah started really being able to talk, probably about a year and a half-ish ago, we started doing weekly phone calls to Gigi so she could talk to her favorite person. I know one time, like, if anybody's ever talked to my grandma on the phone, you know, like, you're lucky if you get a goodbye. You'll be like, okay, hello, and she's already gone. So one day we were talking to her, and I was about to say goodbye, and she says, I love you, Josiah, goodbye, and hangs up. And I was like, okay. So he's her favorite. But, you know, Grandma fought really hard, and she went into remission, and we were very thankful for that. And one of the things she kept saying she wanted to do when she got better was be able to travel. And so, you know, I was talking to her this past summer and trying to encourage her to come down when my parents were going to come, and she was kind of hesitating, having it hawing. Well, you know, it's a long drive, and then, you know, once we get there, I have to find somebody to get me back home. And I said, Grandma, get you back home? Like, ain't nobody gonna leave you there, Grandma. And from the back seat, Josiah goes, no one's gonna leave you, Grandma. And 2 days later, my Grammy came to North Carolina to visit us because she was shamed by her favorite person. But it was such a wonderful visit. And I'm just so glad that I got that time with her, because right after that is when we found out that the cancer had come back. She fought really, really hard, and Her one goal was to make it to her 60th wedding anniversary, which was December 12th, and she made it. That morning, she got to open her cards. She got to celebrate that joyous occasion, and later she was hospitalized for the last time. Grandma, I'm crushed, but I am so happy you're not in pain anymore. I'm so happy you made it to that milestone. We love you so much. We will cherish you forever. We will not forget you. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am a Yoni sister-in-law. My name is Maureen, and I must say it's not easy to stand here and say something about my favorite sister-in-law. But the journey began when I was 9 years old. I met a Yoni in St. Thomas, Jamaica, when she was brought home to be introduced to my parents by my brother Gladstone. I have fond memories of the time we spent with her. She enjoyed teaching and became my biggest motivator, offering words of wisdom and encouraging me to become the best you. Life with her was one of activity. You knew what you needed to do, and the responsibility and the accountability for doing so. She was a perfect example of a mother to me. Throughout the years, Miss Ayoni's kindness and generosity did not stop. When I migrated to the U.S., she had a job lined up for me, and she provided the necessary means for me to commute to work. She also paved the way for me to petition for my kids, and for that debt, I can never repay. What I admire most about her was a sense of humor and ability to craft up new plans. Whenever Fitzroy, Dorrit, and myself would drive down from Hamlin to visit her, we would be met by, "Guys, I have an idea." Those ideas were well thought out and, of course, sometimes require manual and intense labor, from carpentry to gardening. Something was about to change in the end. Miss Ayoni always got her way. Yes, we had to do whatever was necessary to turn that idea into reality. I will miss the special bond that we shared, one that can never be replaced. I will miss her smile and motherly advice to my nephews, Fitzroy and Clayton, and my niece, Dorrit. I know you have lost the greatest gift in life. Be assured, my dear children, that although the journey has come to an end, your mother's love and care will follow you throughout your life. While I cannot replace your mom, remember, I'm always there if you need a shoulder to lean on. On behalf of the Crosshill family, we express our deepest sympathy for your loss. May your mom is gone, but her legacy and memories live on. May her soul rest in peace.
Good afternoon, Gates Presbyterian Church members and friends and family. My name is Velta Rushan, and I've had the honor of meeting Ayoni Crosdale 38 plus years ago in this very sanctuary. And here I am today, saying so long, my sister. However, not in my wildest dream did I think this relationship would endure for this long. Ayoni loved people and was a firm believer in helping one another and that it takes a village to raise our children. Ayoni was the mastermind behind the formation of our first social group here in Rochester in 1983. It was called the Unique Club of Rochester. And with that, guests, friends always mimic or try to, you know, make us feel like, wow, the Unique Club? What does that mean? However, as the years progressed, we realized that we were a special group. From that group, we dissolved somewhat and became a circle of friends. This was a vibrant social group that created fellowship and cultural activities for several years. The first circle of friends consisted of 11 Jamaican women of various backgrounds. Members of the club never missed any opportunities to celebrate events in the life of our families, traveling great distances, at times to high school and college sports events, show choir performances, graduations, bridal showers, weddings and anniversaries, as well as birthdays and holidays celebration. Meetings were monthly, where we shared great meals, discussed current affairs, had tons of laughter, and cried with each other during difficult times. At our parties, which were many, the fun continued as Ioni was the live wire. She would always request it, two of her favorite songs. Let's Hear It for the Boys and Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. One of Ioni's favorite scripture is Luke 1, verses 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If we as a group can put our trust in God, we can and will get through anything. Life is a journey, and Ioni encourages us to take the good with the bad. Smile when you are sad. Love what you have got, and remember what you had. Always forgive, but never forget. Learn from your mistakes. People change. Things go wrong. We should always remember the journey goes on. Rest in God's hands, my sister. Until we meet again, thank you.
Osmond and I have known Ioni for the past 40 years. We actually met her and Gladstone at this church, just like Velta. As we introduced ourselves, we immediately connected as we heard the accent and realized they were from Jamaica. Right away, we knew we were going to be lifelong friends. At that time, I was pregnant with Lisa, and one of the church members, Marion Mosman, had a baby shower for me, and Ioni was there. She made a beautiful craft figure that was part of a baby hanging mobile. She and Glaston invited us over for dinner many times. I especially remember when we celebrated our fifth wedding anniversary. She had a special dinner for us to celebrate that occasion. Ioni was a master of all trades. There were many times we saw her hammering away, trying to fix something in the house or painting a room. She loved a garden and had beautiful hostas in front of her house. Today, I have some of her hostas under my tree. So every spring when they appear, they will remind me of Ioni. A devoted Christian who sang in the choir, attended Bible study, and chaired many committees here at Gates Presbyterian Church. She was also the life of our parties and would have us laughing so hard as she would tell one joke after another. Ione was kind, warm-hearted, an immaculate dresser, well-respected, loving, and generous. We remember her giving Lisa a set of children's encyclopedia and various books on special occasions, such as Lisa's birthday. She was an educator, and I remember her encouraging others to get their college degrees, as she stated that once you attain higher education, no one can take it away from you. Words of wisdom, and that was just one of them. She was an inspiration to me and a really great support to my family, especially to Lisa, my daughter. Lisa could not be here today, but wanted to pay special tribute to Ione. So this is from Lisa. Ione was that person you would call the village matriarch. She was a mother, grandmother, friend one could go to for advice. The woman you would laugh with, cry to, seek approval from. The one you wouldn't dare disappoint. Ione was a part of many of my childhood memories. And my memories go all the way back to my days as a young child at the downtown daycare center, because she was the director there. It was obvious that she was very well respected, a woman in charge, but at the same time, she was warm, caring, and great with children. When in her presence, I remember feeling a sense of comfort and security. I felt that I could trust her with anything. Ione was there for every birthday party, graduation, anniversary celebration, and holiday gathering. She was always cooking dishes to bring and gave the greatest and most thoughtful speeches. And her laugh. Whether you were in the room with her or not, you knew she was around when you heard her unique and contagious laugh. She was there for my sweet 16th birthday party and my high school graduation party. I remember when Ione met my husband, whom I was dating at the time, she told me that she approved of him, and that meant the world to me. She pretty much gave me the validation that I needed to know that he would be the guy I would someday marry. One funny memory I have of Ione was at my bridal shower. My mom and her friends had the fabulous idea of ordering me a stripper. Funny enough, they ordered the wrong stripper. He was supposed to be of the Chippendale caliber, but it turned out he was more like Magic Mike. And I will leave that up to your imagination. Ione was not having any of that. She was a church lady. I remember Ione laughing when the stripper entered the room, but when he started to get too racy, she quickly shifted from laughter to disapproval. And before you know it, he was escorted out of the building. Ione was also a brutally honest Jamaican woman, and I would take her advice very seriously. I remember after having my first child, I had put on some weight. And I remember her pulling me aside one day and saying, "You're going to lose that weight, right?" You better believe that I made sure I lost that baby weight. What's most memorable about Ione was that she was someone who cared deeply for others, and she touched so many lives, certainly including mine. She loved her family so much. She loved her children and grandchildren and was so proud of them. I'm grateful that I was able to spend some time with her this past summer just catching up. She was sweet, as always, and I really enjoyed our conversation. I will definitely treasure that last memory. As much as we all wish she were here to share and make more memories with, we know she's in a better place, sitting with God and the angels, and still looking out for us. Rest in peace, Ione. We will miss you dearly.
My name is Dadi Madal. I have known Ione for 17 years. I'm the newcomer of the group. I first met Ione when my husband Jim and I came to this church, and I decided I was going to be a part of the choir. I walked into choir rehearsal. It was a sea of blank faces. I knew no one. However, that has never deterred me. So I walked in the door and said, "Hello, I'm Dadi Madal, and I am a second soprano." With that, one lady from the choir, who I will tell you the name in a minute, said to me, "You will sit between me and Ione." I didn't know who Ione was. So I walked in, the one lady moved over, I sat down, that was my beginning with Ione. Ione was very quiet. I'm not hearing the laughter in my little talk. She was very quiet with me and actually sort of reserved. She had to get used to me because I was just the opposite. So we had the choir rehearsal. The third person I met turned around and said to me, "And now we've got to get you a choir rope." So who were those three people? Phyllis Titus, Ione, of course, and Bonnie Beckett. Their graciousness and their acceptance of me was unbelievable. It was not something I was necessarily used to. So now let me tell you the funny piece, Bible study. Did you know you can have fun in Bible study? All right, so we have Bible study down the hall. It was when Ralph English was here as the pastor. I walked into the room. Jim and I both went to Bible study. I didn't want to sit by Jim. There was no real reason for that, but I thought I'd like to spread out. Ione is sitting there. She pats the chair beside her. That was for me to sit down. That was my place the whole time. She was in Bible study with us. Here's the funny piece. There were three of us in the Bible study that sort of had a weird way of looking at Scripture. We would get a little bit off. I don't mean off color or anything like that, but whatever was being said, we would sort of think, "Oh my goodness." And we would, the three of us, who will remain nameless, would look at each other. At the very end of this, somebody might say, "Well, Ione, what do you think?" Ione had it all synthesized down, the whole message, all of our ramblings, and out would come this wisdom. It's the only way I can describe it. It was succinct, concise, on the mark, a child of God. So now let's get to the last couple years. My background is in the healthcare field. I also have had an academic background in universities. Ione called me on the phone. What an honor for me. She called me on the phone and said, come over. I went over. Gladstone was there. Ione wanted to keep control. Her situation was tenuous at best. I knew this. Not that I necessarily shared this with Ione and Gladstone, but I knew it. She used, and I don't want to use that as a negative word, she used me and my knowledge. I was so honored to help. I would go every 2 to 3 weeks. Sometimes she'd have a list of questions. Other times we would just laugh ourselves silly. One time I said to her, is there somebody you'd like to see? Oh, what about that little short little lady in the choir, and, you know, over there in the alto? I said, oh, you mean Helen Priestley? Oh, yes. Well, Helen and I are close friends. So I said, I will call. Helen and I go. We had the most wonderful chat. Don't even ask me what it was about. It was not about being sick, all right? This was about children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I heard the story of Josiah. She was a person. She was not a sick woman. She was a person. So when I went, I treated her as a person. I didn't treat her as a sick woman. If she had a question for me, fine. I could help. Maybe I couldn't. Maybe I had to say, ask your doctor. But at least she had a listening ear. My last visit with her was before she came down to see you. And I dropped off an upper room. And I was just in and out in like 15 minutes. She walked me to the door. She leaned out. She waved. That's what I want to remember.
Good afternoon. My name is Millie Thompson, as many of you may know. And of course, I was also a member of the Unique Club, one of the old timers. But I met Ione soon after she arrived in the US. We became friends and kept in contact regularly. My husband and I attended many family functions, especially for her kids and grandkids, and there were many of them, from graduations and parties for different things. About 2 years ago, after receiving her medical diagnosis, she called and told me, and then she said, this diagnosis does not have to be a death sentence. She was ready to fight her disease. She was very brave and attended all her appointments, chemo or procedures with a positive attitude. She always thought that the next treatment would be the cure. She would sometimes say to me, I have an appointment with the doctor on such a date. Can you come? Or sometimes it's chemo or a procedure. Because she knew my background was in the medical field, so she left those areas, I guess, up to me. in the last few months as her condition changed, and she required several hospital admissions, and she would call to say, I am in room such and such. Are you coming? Or will I see you later? My husband and I would try to make as many appointments as we could. Of course, Fitzroy and Dorr were always there, also Mr. Crosdale and Clayton. And Fitzroy would often send out a group text to keep everyone up to date on her condition. So she was certainly a good friend to me. Yeah, would, you know, visit her when we can, and would have dinners, and of course all the times we spent in the Unique Club, you know, meant a lot to me. So she'll certainly be missed.
Ione, you are the light of so many lives. Words cannot fully express the grief and emptiness we feel at your loss. It's hard to believe that your person, your so human person, is no longer with us. But while we grieve, we must also praise you by expressing our admiration and our love. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lance Drummond. I'm the husband of Hope Drummond and a close friend of the Crosdale family, and I will claim more of an adopted son of Ione and Gladstone. I speak today in celebration of her life. Here was a life that demanded notice, a life that exemplified excellence, a life that people wanted to emulate, a life that burned so that other paths were lit. One of my indelible memories of Ione was her innate willingness to give back. Throughout her life, she set many examples of volunteering and giving back to the community. Whether at church or through her incredible efforts as the third director of the Downtown Child Development Center, and particularly during her tenure of 27 years at the center, she helped significantly improve efficiency and effectiveness while enhancing the quality of child care, hiring better teachers, and delivered results that changed lives in the community. Ione understood she could not save everyone, but she was deeply committed to changing the trajectory of many lives at an early age. And that would result in a positive impact, a positive lifetime impact. In addition to her work at the Development Center, Ione was one of the early participants in the Leadership Rochester program, which provided and established emerging leaders with knowledge and access to resources, enabling them to understand and respond to quality of life challenges facing the greater Rochester region. She attended the program with several famous Rochester area alum, including the ex-police chief and Lieutenant Governor Robert Duffy. She worked in the background with her husband Gladstone. You all heard about the Unique Club of Rochester, by the way. Guys were included in the Unique Club of Rochester. As it morphed into the Circle of Friends, guys were not included. I just want to go on record there. So they worked together for the Rochester Jamaican Organization, a not-for-profit group committed to perpetuating Jamaican heritage in the Rochester community while facilitating assimilation to American society and improving the living and educational conditions for the needy in Jamaica. This is yet another example of her giving back over the years, which enabled the RJO, as it's known, to thrive. To quote Albert Einstein, the true measure of a person should be seen in what they give, not in what they're able to receive. Ione is an exceptional example of a woman who gave without any expectation of receiving. I suspect there are many attending today's service who have benefited from what Ione gave and are here today to express their love and appreciation for her. I join you in your grief, but more importantly, the celebration of her life. We will miss her dearly, and although she's no longer here physically, her spirit remains with us. Her spirit of giving back, her commitment to improving the lives of children, her passion for the community of Rochester. She has set a sparkling example for us to follow. Let's take up her mantle and build on her legacy of giving. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family. I see smiles on the face already as if I'm a comedian, but no, not a comedian. No, I'm not here to preach. That's not my calling. That's you, bro. And as far as a singer, can't carry a note in a bucket. So, and my dear old aunt, she knew that from start. No, she says, Taxi, as they would call me, leave singing alone, not for you. And that's for sure. Believe me, I know my calling. And she made it clear as everybody came up here and told you how brutally honest she is. Believe me, we as a family here, we know. Well, first of all, good afternoon, family, friends, and loved ones. My name is Winsome Facy, but most know me as Texie. As we all family here, friends, everybody know, I'm Texie. Auntie Oni, as we call her, which is my aunt. She's the aunt to a bunch of us, a whole bunch of us here. But Aunt Oni was very, how should I put it, without going word for word on my paper here, a very organized person. She was an educator. Aunt Oni, as she was affectionately known by the family members and friends, was born in a little town in Jamaica called Freehill, St. Mary's. She was born on January 21st to her parents of Alan Masters and Verona Campbell Masters. She was an educator and disciplinarian who advocate good manners and education as a must in any child's life, as you have already heard from many who have been up here before. She, believe me, didn't take education too lightly. That was one big thing in her life. Needless to say, we as her niece and nephew and Fitzwilliam Clayton, the children, we experienced that firsthand living in that household. Because anybody knows, coming from a household that has a teacher in Jamaica, from that household, believe me, we're going to feel it firsthand. Her no-nonsense approach to education and discipline made her a very respected individual in the town. Ione was not only an educator at school, but also within the home. We were always happy when school was on summer break. We were so happy because we knew then, hey, freedom from this old book regiment. However, each summer holiday, the entire family would take trips to different parts of Jamaica. We were ecstatic about these holiday excursions, but we all dreaded the thought of returning home, because we knew Ione Crossdale would require that we write at least a 2 to 3 page essay once we returned from her trip. She would in turn, of course, correct the errors, etc. And if it wasn't written up to her standards, of course, it was required of us to redo this. What a vacation, huh? I looked at her as a representative of law and order. Wait a minute, law and order. In fact, I think that's where that TV series came from. Law and order. Because believe me, she was a strong advocate of that. Although English is the official language of Jamaica, most of the residents use a dialect called Patois, everyday casual conversation. This Patois was, of course, a no-no in her presence. Not in Miss Ione's presence, you're going to be sitting up there going off in that Patois, like, you know, a lot of us were very comfortable with. She would constantly correct our grammar and speech each time we spoke the Patois in her presence. I remember an incident in a particular at a particular time with one of my sisters, nameless Paula. Not calling any name, you didn't hear that, right? Paula, in case you didn't hear it. Paula had borrowed Fitzroy's toy gun. He had this toy gun that he loved so much, play with it all the time. This toy gun was the type of gun that not only did it give off sounds and stuff like that, but when you pull the trigger, you would see like a light would go through it, like fire is coming out of it. So Paula was playing with the gun. Somehow, I don't know what happened, it malfunctioned. When Fitzroy learned of this, Fitzroy was very angry. Now, I hope you all understand the patois, because I'm about to give a little bit of it. Fitzroy looked at him and said, "Look what you did. Now you give me back the same thing when the fire part come out." Not knowing that his mother, Miss English, as we know her as, was in hearing distance of this whole thing. All he heard was, "Fitzroy? Fitzroy? What did you just say?" Fitzroy kind of like crouched down, you know, and said, he was all in shock because he had no idea she was around. He calmly responded, "Nothing, Mom. Nothing at all. Nothing, Mom. Nothing." You know, there are several incidents. This wasn't the only one where we were corrected. Another sister, I'm not going to mention her name. She's the oldest of us, so. Her name starts with C. I wonder who that Carol. Every morning in our household, we were required to have a formal breakfast, formal dinner. That was our tradition every morning, whether we had school or not. Table was set nicely as usual because we all had our chores and everything. That was, you know, part of our tradition. So here we are sitting at the table as Antoine. She was always Miss Prim and Proper, always making sure that we knew how to use our knives and forks. Because we were, you know, I don't know, many of you are not from Jamaica. Being from Jamaica, we were under the British ruling, so therefore we had some of their culture. And so we had to sit there and, you know, use our knives and forks and stuff like that. And, you know, part of our Jamaican breakfast is usually consists of what we call the hard dough bread. Carol was enjoying that breakfast that morning and wanted some more bread. So she said, "May I have 2 slices of bread, please?" So Antoine looked at her and said, "What?" She's not realizing what she's saying wrong. She said, "May I have 2 slices of bread, please?" Antoine said, "Slices! Slices, Carol, not slice, slices!" Again, correcting us. Never, I guess Carol will never ever forget that, because she's always correcting us. You know, of course, I myself never had to be corrected. Yeah, right. But I'm not even going to bore you with my corrections that she made. I'm not going to bore you, no. I'll only let, you know. But not only was she an advocate for education and always correcting us and stuff like that, but as someone mentioned up here, I would call her Bill the Builder. Every time, I think she got it from her father, actually. Her father was a mason. No, was a carpenter. And although she was the baby girl of that family, I think she adopted a little bit of that because, as someone mentioned, every time she gets the chance, she's either knocking down some wall, adding this or whatever, you know. And poor Fitzroy and Clayton, I thought for sure. And not to mention Mr. Cross, her husband. They were carpenters and didn't know it themselves. They had no clue that's what they were. Or were gonna be once being in that family. Antoine always like changes, you know, as far as rearranging her furniture, always cleaning, always doing something, because she was the type that felt, don't waste time while you have time. You know, make sunshine while, make hay while the sun shines, I should say. And we all take a little part of her with us, because I'm telling you, my sister, Sonia, not saying any names, I think she got that from her as well, the cleaning, the cooking. She can't sit still. She's always cleaning something, fixing something, cooking. She's not sitting still, because she's making hay while the sun shines, as Antoine would put it. But, you know, Antoine was the fourth child of five children. Three went on ahead of her, that now she decided to join, but she left my mom, the Energizer Bunny, right here. She keeps on ticking, honey, and I hope she keeps on for another 20 years. But my mom here, she takes a licking, but keep on ticking, because those old homes here, honey, ain't going to slow her down. May see her walking with a cane and everything, but she still drives. She still goes and visit the home and sick and everything. She's right on up there, you know. But when her sister passed on, the other sister, Flora Chin, passed on 3 months ago, I remember Antoine went up to the casket and she said, oh, Flo, I'm coming to see you soon. And then she turned to my mom and said, it's only the two of us left. Oh, well, I might be the next. And I said, you know, I didn't say anything at that time. But as time went on and she got worse in her illness, she would tell me, you know, yeah, my time is coming and over that and everything like that. And I would say to her, well, I don't know who's going next. It could be me, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. However, take into consideration that a lot of us have to travel pretty far, and we need time to save the plane fare. And make sure you, when you go, it's on a warm day, because Rochester is too cold to be visiting from, I'm coming from an 80-degree weather from yesterday, only to be shivering at your airport, feeling like 2 below 0, it felt like, even though it was, what, 40? And y'all just as comfortable. But that's how that is, you know. But I would say to her, just hang in there, you'll be all right. And she would say, I'm trying to hang. I said, but all I ask, just give us time, give us a little time to recoup from from your sister that passed on 3 months ago. And then we'll be okay to handle what we have coming from you. But, you know, Antoine, especially as I became an adult, I got to see the humorous part of her, because as children, we all looked at her as a very strict person, a very, you know, disciplinarian, and, you know, and she would let us be kids at times once our chores were done. And we're going out, you know, let us be kids, and we play, and we have our good times and everything. But her personality, I tell you, for those who met her after she came to the United States and everything, got to share some of that, she is a real fun-loving person. When her and her sisters would get together, my brother-in-law calls them the cackling hens. Because no matter what it is, we find something to laugh about. And I find that me and my sisters, we're doing the same thing. We get together, and we're just laughing. And it's such an infectious laugh that people don't even understand what we're talking about, but they start laughing too. You know, that's just how it is. You know, we have a good time together. We're a very close-knit family, and we try to stay that way. Even when we get angry, it doesn't last. We usually make up real quickly. We always let everyone know, even if we don't say it all the time, we show our love to one another. Because from her parents, that trickled down to us. Antoine had strong morals and values. She believed, like her mother, which is my grandmother, that education would take us far in life, but manners would take us further. Although she had this strict demeanor, she also knew how to have fun. She loved to dance and have a good time. When we used to have our family party and everything, she used to be up there, boy, and those legs be going and everything. That would draw all of us together to start dancing, joining her on the dance floor. We would have a good time. She was a fun-loving person. She was a very good wife, mother, auntie, and, of course, a great sister to my mom. And I must say, Ione Crosdale, you tried to hang in there, and even though you didn't listen to me, I said, hang in there for a little longer, let us wait. Your pop tick put you in your ears, I'm gone anyway. But, you know, we all have no control over when the Lord says, it's time. And that's just it. We can't say, wait a minute, let me put my shoes on, let me comb my hair. They say, just as you join church, come as you are, our Lord was going to take us as we are, whether we want to or not. And I'm leaving you guys with this. Don't be sad, because she wouldn't want that. She is a fun-loving person, and she will be missed. And I tell you, I know, I miss her. She told me, you notice I'm in red? She made a mistake and told me, oh, you look nice in red. I like you in red. So I thought I would honor her today in my little red and black to kind of, you know, bring off the moment. But ladies and gentlemen, family and loved ones, she is in a much better place now and in no more pain. And we all love her, and she knows that. So with this, I say good night.
Good afternoon, everyone. Most of you might know me, and some people might not. I am the daughter-in-law of Ione Crosdale. And I'm reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What gain have workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. They cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by.
Here ends the first reading. I chose not to speak today, but I just want to say how much I love my mother-in-law. She was like a mother to me. I've known her since I was a child in elementary school. When she became my mother-in-law, it was the happiest day of my life. I've been married in Fitzroy. And for the past several months, she was living with us and we're taking care of her. And I just didn't think this day would come so soon. But she's at rest and she's not in any more pain.
I'm reading from the Gospel of John, John 14, verses 1 through 8. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way and you know the way to the place where I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Here ends the second reading.
Behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining, and after a bright new star, when troubles grieve you and life deceives you, oh, will all pass over. In the morning, when trials pull your heartstrings, don't be discouraged. And even though pain and misery fill your eyes with tears, these trials depart. Oh. Passover.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your love for us is everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of the morning light. Help us to turn to you with believing hearts. In the stillness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that having heard the promises in Scripture and hearing your word proclaimed, we may have hope and be lifted above our distress into the peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In these last few days of 2019, we are learning to do a new thing. We are trying to figure out what life looks like, what life feels like, what life will be like without our sister Ione. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. In this time of mourning and sorrow, we trust that there too will be a time for healing and laughing, a time for peace, a season of life everlasting which endures forever, a season our sister Ione now fully embraces. But today, we acknowledge our grief. Today we acknowledge our sorrow and our sadness, for it is good and right and just to do just that. For 82 years, our lives have been enriched, guided, and nurtured by Ione's presence among us. As we've heard this afternoon, Ione's life has been full of many seasons. In the first season, she spent her primary years in the Free Hill part of St. Mary's, Jamaica, where she met Gladstone and began their family, a journey of 60 beautiful years. A journey of 60 years full of companionship and commitment. With their family, Ione would begin a new season of devotion and dedication as they emigrated to the United States, settling here in Rochester, New York. Then there came a season of vocation. Jesus instructs that we should welcome all the children, that the faith of a child is a precious thing. And indeed, Ione's commitment to education and faithful dedication to the work of the Downtown Early Childhood Center and participation in this very community with many of the people gathered here and her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, she shaped an entire generation, including many of us in this room who were nurtured by her, cared for by her, and who were raised in this village with Ione Crosdale, Mrs. Crosdale, Aunt Ione, as our matriarch. Then there was an extended season of Christian fellowship, where Ione enjoyed the company of family, friends, traveling all over the country, marking celebrations of all kinds, marking the passage of time amongst her beloved sisters and circles and friends. Four words have come forth in these last few days describing Ione that mark her life. Those words are methodical, discerning, discipline, and order. Hallmarks of a life of service. These words are also foundational to the Reformed faith and the Presbyterian tradition that Ione was raised in and the church that she loved. These words give voice to her sense of commitment to the church, even from her earliest days attending the Presbyterian school and church in Jamaica. Throughout all these seasons of fellowship, of education, of vocation, Ione and Gladstone remain faithful members of this community, Gates Presbyterian Church, for nearly 45 years. Yet for Ione, faith was not simply defined by dutiful church attendance on Sunday morning, study of the scriptures, or the practices of prayer, all of which she did, and all of which were important to her. But for Ione, faith meant serving her congregation and her community and caring through her family to her family through patience, yet diligence, firmness, and order. Offering care through various ministries of this congregation, most notably decades singing in the church choir. Ione took the covenant of baptismal promises very seriously, nurturing little ones and ministering to those in need. For her, faith is expressed in a loving embrace, in the joy of laughter, and with smiles shared with family, friends, and neighbors alike. Indeed, many of us knew Ione through this congregation and this community, but far beyond the walls of the church, Friendships were forged and faith was strengthened. A life of deep relationship and Christian community signified in service and fellowship, the fellowship of the table, sharing meals and conversation with beloved sisters and friends, tasting and seeing and sharing that indeed the Lord is good. It is through serving and being served that Ione experienced the fellowship of Jesus Christ, her Lord. It is through the tender care of family and friends and dear ones that Ione surely saw the face of God. It is through the promise of the resurrection that Ione knew the power of God, providing her her greatest comfort, even in the darkest of moments. There is a time and a season for certainty and assurance and conclusions. There are also seasons of fear and doubt. If we are honest, we all go through times of wrestling with life's biggest questions. It is indeed through dangers, toils, and snares that our faith is strengthened, even through pain, through suffering and questions and fear. Ione fully embraced God's presence in the embrace she felt by her loved ones. For many disciples, including Ione, the seasons were occasionally punctured with doubts and lingering questions. And in that sense, Ione lived a life not unlike all followers of Jesus Christ, those walking alongside him and our contemporaries. A life of faith does not mean idyllic circumstances or certainty. Life is filled with many joys, but also challenge, illness, and loss. But a life of faith is one lived in the fullness of hope. A life of faith is filled with the promise of the resurrection, that hope and life everlasting will be at the center of our lives. And this is a promise that surely rested in Ione's heart throughout all her life. Alongside her friends and family, through her neighbors she helped serve, through the relationships she helped cultivate, through the fellowship that she fully embodied. In this season of Christmas, as we embrace the light of our salvation, a light no doubt darkness shall ever overcome. We hold fast to Jesus' words in John's Gospel, continuing from the Gospel reading we heard earlier. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. May our hearts not be troubled. May the eternal companionship of Jesus Christ grant us peace and the assurance that Ione knew this promise, and that we might know it ourselves, that we all might cleave to this life everlasting, saved by grace through the faith we profess. A faith which Martin Luther called a living and unshakable confidence, a belief in the grace of God so assured. That is the life and the faith that we celebrate and honor this day. That this assurance of a grace so amazing that through joy and laughter, difficulty and trial, that God is with us and for us always. May we continue to honor this gift. This gift of love Ione shared with all who gather here this morning. The love God has for Ione, the love God has for all of us. As I sat with members of Ione's family earlier this week and listened as they shared about wife, mother, grandmother, sister, friend, as they shared about Ione, as we've heard today, as caretaker, nurturer, teacher, peacemaker. At one moment, I heard the declaration that in this season, in this moment, it is a mystery and a joy. It is a mystery and a joy. The miracle of Jesus' birth we celebrate in these days, a mystery and a joy. The miracle of human life itself, a mystery and a joy. The journey of faith we all take with its disappointments and its challenges, amidst adventure and laughter and special memories, a mystery and a joy. The pain of illness and the release at his death, a mystery and a joy. We are in this season of the mystery of death and sadness, but the joy of special bonds, special memories, and embracing one another in peace and forgiveness. Fruits of the Spirit that we are all called to. That even in the midst of sorrow, we all of us might embrace reconciliation and love. Let us rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit, trusting that the Lord our God has prepared for us an eternal home, that God has provided for us a dwelling place, that through all time and change, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never, never come to an end. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit that our prayers may serve your will and show your steadfast love. We give you thanks for the church, communities of faith, and communities of all kinds which strengthen and uphold us. May our sisters and brothers in Christ continue to love and embrace all and remind us of the welcome of your kingdom. God of grace, we thank you for the gifts of humor, kindness, and love which we honor this day. We thank you for your faithful children who serve with grace and with joyful hearts and kind spirits. We give you thanks, dear God, for the gift of family, for loving, dedicated spouses, supportive parents, and compassionate friends who nurture us and care for us, who guide us and encourage us and by their words and deeds demonstrate the love you have for us all. We offer our gratitude for caregivers, doctors, nurses, children, and friends who comfort with compassion and gentle care, attending to aches and pains while uplifting our spirits with tenderness. We give you thanks this day for the life of Ione Orinthia Crosdale, your beloved daughter and our sister in Christ. God of comfort, stand with those who mourn and sorrow, especially Gladstone, Clayton, Fitzroy, Dorr, and their entire family. May they be sure that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come shall separate them from your love. Embrace them, dear God. Comfort them. Lift their spirits. Grant them peace. God of all generations, we praise you for those dear to us and all your servants who, having been faithful to you on earth, now rest with you in heaven. Keep us in fellowship with them until we meet with all your children in the joy of your eternal kingdom. God of glory, you see how all creation groans in labor as it awaits redemption. As we work for and await your new creation, we trust that you will answer our prayers with grace and fulfill your promise that all things work together for good for those who love you. We offer these meditations of our hearts, joining our voices now with the words our Savior taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. following the commendation, but before the final blessing, we will recess Ione's body, and all are invited after the recessional to gather again as we continue to worship God and commit to God's eternal care, Ione, at Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. There's information in your bulletin. Following the committal service graveside, we will gather here in the fellowship hall at the opposite end of the church for a time of fellowship, sharing a meal, and an opportunity to share special memories and to be together. Now please bow your heads for the commendation. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Ione. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own flock, a lamb of your own fold, a sinner of your own redeeming, receiving her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of eternal peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, will live, and those who live and trust in me will never die. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look down upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.
soldier, you say.